Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Let's get back to our conversation with Brian Maher. He's superintendent of the Sioux Falls School District. We're talking about how the school shooting in a Florida high school resonates in South Dakota. And during this segment, we talk about the voices of students, the possibility of a national student walkout to honor the dead, whether or not our schools in South Dakota are vulnerable to attack, and what role, if any, parents have in school safety. They also said, listen to us. And I want to talk to you a little bit about student voice and the, you know, the challenges and the opportunities as we see things like a nationwide call to walk out, you know, to send a message or a student protest of some sort. What are your thoughts as you sort of look at how that's developing across the country and in South Dakota?
Interesting. That was a good chunk of our conversation this morning, too, was what about a walkout? And they kind of looked at me like, what do you think, Mr. Superintendent? And I told them that the there's a power of voice that I think is something that they can't waste. Mm. Whether that waste would be, let's have a walkout every day, or let's really focus on the issues not necessarily that are germane to this topic. And so I just asked them, I said, as you put together your thoughts, I will be supportive of your thoughts if you keep it between these rails. And I said, I believe that if we have a walkout, two things must be in place. Maybe more than two, but two things must be in place. One of those things is, if we're going to walk out, let's be mindful of the lives that were lost and make this issue as pronounced as it is. And then the second thing is, let's keep school safety top of mind for our students, for all staff, whether that's the custodian, which my father was, or the superintendent, which I am, all staff, whether that's law enforcement, whether that's a political message that we send in a very respectful way, but with those two items as our guardrails, respect for loss of life and keeping school safety top of mind, I would be supportive of our students staging a walkout. And I believe one of the national trends, I've seen several, I believe one of the national trends is, let's look at March 14th, let's look at 10 a.m., let's look at 17 minutes to honor the 17 lives lost. And I would be in favor of that. I also told the students, if you're just looking to get out of pre-calc, no matter how boring that might be, that's not okay. That's that's wasting your voice.
Yeah.
And so it was it was a great meeting, and there were times where I just sat back and let these wonderful minds, teenage minds, talk about what we should do. And I think anybody in our community, had they seen that, would feel great about our future. I know I sure am. I'm optimistic. Issues like Parkland certainly take us all back and give us pause, but then we need issues like we had this morning to say we still should be optimistic about our future.
And when you have a walkout, they have also, I'm guessing, have an awareness that you can't control the behavior of every student next to you, and it can, like in a protest of any kind, it can turn into silliness or disrespectfulness or a problem. There's a lot to consider for them.
You're exactly right. The other thing I challenged the students this morning, I said, I challenge you to take back to your principal, because I didn't have the principals in on this conversation, and they're the ones, you know, it's easy for me to say, yeah, it's okay, and the principals have to deal with they have to write a check that the, you know, or cash a check that the superintendent wrote. So how do they deal with that? So number one, to speak to their principals, and number two, to speak to their student councils and to figure out, how do we make this meaningful? You know, if we take a building with 400 kids, or we take a building with 2,300 kids, we're going to have a few kids be kids. Mm-hmm. And the meaning of this issue is going to be lost on them. But hopefully we can get good kids and good minds talking about the why this is important, and have the message be meaningful enough for us to say, not only will we allow the walkout, we'll support the walkout. And I think it was important for us to get in front of the topic of a walkout and not look at it as, by gosh, you get back to class or else. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that would have accomplished anything. So mm-hmm. I'm still anxious to see how it unfolds, and truly have left a lot of the decision making up to the students, and just want it to be a meaningful time.
Sioux Falls is the biggest school district in the state. South Dakota Public Broadcasting has a statewide audience. Are we having a Sioux Falls conversation, or are we having a South Dakota conversation? Do you think the situation is different for you in your district, honestly? And or do you think that if we pull in any rural superintendent, we're going to hear the same themes with a slightly different reality of numbers and community and things like that?
I think the latter scenario that you put together, and here's why I say it. And not only don't think it's a Sioux Falls issue, I don't think it's a South Dakota issue. Mm. I think it's a national issue. And here would be my evidence for that. Last night and this morning, the conversation was on a group that I belong to I don't remember the exact number. I'm going to say in the 20s, maybe 30, school districts from around the state of South Dakota. And the question came up, has anybody heard about potential walkout? If so, what are you going to do? Mm. And I think there is a fairly like mindset of, hey, let's endorse this and let's make it meaningful. This isn't just to get out of pre-calc. As an old math teacher, I know there are plenty of reasons.
You can get away with saying
kids
that,
want to get out of pre-calc, but that's not what this can be about.
Right.
But to lose 17 minutes of instructional time for a purpose as big as school safety and something potentially as impactful as school safety, and also for honoring the loss of life, I think that's time well invested in our kids. Mm-hmm. And also, I think, and maybe I'm talking about Sioux Falls here, but I don't think so. I think to give the power to students and say, we truly want to hear you on this topic, I think there's some real power there. And that's scary for old guys like me, but they won't let us down. If we truly give them the broad parameters and say, fill in the gaps, they'll do a whole lot better job than I would filling in those gaps for them.
That's the business that you're in.
It is, absolutely, to develop those minds.
Yeah, as a parent, I struggle with that sometimes too. This is my job, and I've done it well when I watch what my daughter does. You're in the business of making way for them.
Human development. That's what I talk to our teachers about all the time. That's what we do. We're in the business of human development. How did I do it? I did it by teaching math, and then I did it by being the assistant principal and a principal. The content isn't near as important as the development of the mind and the ability to think critically and the ability to think for yourself and the ability to know that you're part of a bigger society, however you define that. I think all of those things are important, no matter what content you're teaching.
What keeps you up at night about this issue right now?
I know we're vulnerable. I absolutely know we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable in church on Sunday. We're vulnerable when I go to the hospital to visit friends and family. But I'm not responsible necessarily for the safety in those issues, in those environments, but I am in the schools. And so that keeps me up at night. I allay those fears a little bit by knowing, I wish everybody understood our planning processes. Mm-hmm. They stunned me when I first came here 3 years ago. They've only gotten better since then. I don't sit down as the superintendent and say, here's our safety plan. We don't have any person that does that. But we are spearheaded by a retired major general, 2-star major general, who heads up the safety in our schools. And I promise you, he takes his job seriously. He is connected with folks on the national level, folks on the state level, and a whole lot of folks locally. We have quarterly meetings with a group we call the EOC group, the Emergency Operations Center group, and that is police department, that is fire department, that is emergency management, it's Red Cross, it's the National Weather Service, it's others that I will forget right now, so I'll stop at those agencies that all come together to talk about potential issues and to talk about, you know, tabletop exercises from past issues so that we continue to learn. We also have a Safe Schools Committee that meets twice a year to say, what have we done? What can we do better? We have audits on our school safety plan. I think folks would feel pretty good about what we do to try to narrow those areas where we are vulnerable. And some people don't like to say this, but I have to say it. We are vulnerable. But we seek to narrow those gaps of vulnerability every chance we get.
What's the role of parents?
Hmm.
You know, we pull up, I have a high school student, but many people who are listening have a kindergartner and, you know, or have these kids who are not lifting up their voices, and you are still the voice for your child at this point, almost 100%.
Yeah.
We pull up, we kiss them goodbye, we let them out of the car, we pull away, we freak out.
Yep. And you trust that face is going to be smiling at the end of the day when you pick them up as well.
What do you want from parents? What's helpful in your mind from parents at this point who want to do something and want to be of service?
I think, first of all, I've had a number of parents reach out to me to say I would do X or Y or Z as a result of this. And I think all of those communications are good, or at least done with the appropriate spirit. What do I want from parents on that topic? I think some level of trust, and that's so hard. That's hard to say. Mm-hmm. As a father of three children and now four grandchildren, grandfather of four grandchildren, that trust is a hard one. But I'll tell you why I think that trust is important. Lori, I can't tell you all that we do to be safe in our schools, because if I told you everything we did to be safe in our schools, the vulnerabilities that we have would be magnified greater than what they even are. So there are things we do that we're just not going to share. And I know that sounds strange. If you want to come in and know how we develop curriculum, I'll walk you through every piece of it. If you want to see how we put the budget together, I'll walk you through every piece of that. So much of what we do with total transparency. But on this one, there are a lot of things that we just can't let folks know what we do. So we've got to be a little bit careful, a little bit cautious on what we do let out. Yet we've got to know enough to where that 5-year-old kindergartner knows, what do I do in a fire drill? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, what do I do in a lockdown drill?
Right.
And then after a while, that becomes rote recall. Our Major General Bray told me the other day that there are actually 27 threats that he's diagnosed in schools that we have to be prepared for. And just being prepared for fire drills and lockdown drills help us be prepared to act for 27 different instances. So there are a number of things that we do that I think maybe folks don't see as safety issues or don't know that we do. And you're going to have to trust us on some of those issues. The other thing that I would say seems overly simplistic, but it's probably the best thing we do as a deterrent, and that is the see something, say something. It seems like it's not just say no from years gone by.
Right.
See something, say something is something that has averted a lot of problems that I'm aware of. I don't know how many problems I'm not aware of. Because someone has told an adult, whether that's a counselor, a teacher, a custodian, an SRO, a principal, they've told somebody who could work on a topic. So that, whether you're 5 or whether you're 18, I think is a critical piece to be mindful of your surroundings. And if you see something that's out of the ordinary, say something.
Here's something that I keep telling, you know, that keeps coming up in our social circle, my social circle of parents, is that's also I usually don't add in my two cents, but I guess I'll add it on this one. And that's whatever job that you're doing in the world, keep doing it. We're creating the society that these kids will grow up in. So if you're a lawmaker, if you're a journalist, if you're a doctor, you know, recommit yourself to how that impacts these kids as they go into the world. We're the ones who have created what they're dealing with now.
Yeah, well stated.
I will add that. Yeah. Superintendent Brian Maher, thank you so much. You're so generous with your time, and I know you've been generous with really every journalist who has been asking you to have these kinds of conversations. So we thank you. Any final thoughts you want to leave us with?
Thank you, and thanks for covering this topic. I think it's important to really talk about the complexities and get to the bottom of what we need to do to be safer in our school endeavors.
Thanks.
Thank you.